Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 93rd episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. And since the last episode, I have fixed the microphone, so hopefully we're ready to rock now. I want to welcome everyone back to the podcast.
And we encourage you that as you listen this week to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing the conversations and the great things that stick out to you from our guests. I'm really excited about the guest that we have for this week. It is Sarah Thomas, who's kind of a little bit of everything. She's a technology liaison in Maryland. She also teaches technology integration and English language arts. She coaches basketball. She leads PD all over the country. I mean, I feel like I could just list forever. So, Sarah, thank you for coming on the show with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So, Sarah, where we always like to start with our guests is just learning more a little bit about them and how did you end up in education?
The way I got into education, it was actually through alternative certification. So I was a radio TV film major in undergrad, and I went straight to grad school, and I saw a poster on the wall for a program recruiting for teachers for a local school district in partnership with my university. So I applied for it and got it, and 10 years later, here I am.
That's great. So you're a technology liaison now. I want to know what does that mean to you? what does that mean?
Yeah, a technology liaison. Pretty much, I'm pretty much the middle person in between the county and the school. So, okay. For different county initiatives, and you know, I try to keep in touch with the tech training team and coordinate different professional learning opportunities at the school, and you know, just pretty much. Keep the school's finger on the pulse of what's going on technology-wise in the county.
What are some of the things that you maybe had going on this year that you kind of piqued the interest of like teachers around your district?
I would say flipped instruction has mm-hmm. been really something that we've been doing for a few years now, and other teachers are just very interested in doing it, and I'm seeing it as coming it's becoming more and more widely adopted. Mm-hmm. For example, there's a bunch of teachers at our school now who are using Edmodo, and with the snapshot feature, then there's LearnZillion. And when I tell people, hey, you're flipping your class, like when you're showing these LearnZillion videos, you know, to introduce a concept to the kids, and they're just like, oh, I guess I am. So that's a really cool thing.
Cool. So I know you're also a coach as well, Sarah. Have you always wanted to be a coach?
I played basketball a little bit when I was younger. Never at the high school or college level, but a lot of rec ball. Mm-hmm. So I teach at a French immersion school. So the majority of teachers are from other countries, and wow. The primary sport in most of those countries is soccer. So when we split from the Montessori school and we moved into our own building, and they restarted the sports program after a 2-year hiatus, so just to kind of get the ball rolling, then I started coaching the boys basketball team.
So what are some of the biggest similarities or differences that you kind of see between coaching and teaching?
Oh, they are so, so similar. Like, being a teacher is just like being a coach. Like, you're just trying to coach the students into being the best possible versions of themselves. They might not be playing sports or doing anything physical, but, you know, you want to coach them to be the best writer they can be, the best reader, the best digital citizen that they could be. So it all kind of aligns.
So it sounds like you travel around also and do speaking events on technology tools and so much and such. And so how did that kind of come to be? How did that start?
Well, I guess I could trace it back to April 2013. I was at the Common Ground Conference, which is put on by my state. It's like our state is the affiliate, MSET, that puts on that conference.
Okay.
And it was there that they were using a hashtag, which was, I believe, MD13. So I had a Twitter account that I was using privately with friends and family, but it was locked down to private. So when I saw the hashtag that was being used, and I decided to create an account solely dedicated to education. So that's when I created the Sarah the Teacher Twitter account, and just started using that, and then from there getting introduced to like different Twitter chats and things of that nature, And one day there was an announcement for the Edscape conference over in New Jersey that was looking for conference presenters. So I filled it out on a whim, thinking that, hey, they're not going to pick me, and they picked me. And so I was just like, okay, what do I do now? So for the longest time, I was freaking out about it, but I decided to just go ahead and go. Like, my family was just like, just go ahead and try it, see what happens. And once I was able to connect with other teachers in such a way, then I was just hooked. Like, I just love the sharing that goes on in these spaces. I feel like I learned so much, and I just get so much out of connecting with other teachers.
So do you still have a personal Twitter account also?
It's actually funny that you asked that, because I was, at one point, I was in two separate camps. I had, like, my professional and my personal, and the worlds did not intersect. But but the more that that I've used Twitter and connected with educators, I realized that our profession is personal. So there's a lot of bleed in, and right now I really very rarely even use that same original. Yeah. Okay.
I used to be that way on Facebook too, where I was like, no, these are like my real friends, you know, or whatever. Like, it's my family and friends, and now it's like all these educators are friends. I'm like, why not? I mean, that's exactly the same reasons. It's like, this is my world, you know. It needs to all be one, for my own sake, you know. It needs to be all in one place, or it would be a mess.
I completely agree. So, Sarah, what are some of your kind of favorite tools that you are talking about or using currently that you really like?
I use a lot of Google tools, just for the fact that they're free and they're so transformative. I really, really enjoy using Google Sites. I have a Google Sites that I share with my students, and pretty much our technology and English class are gamified. So that's our platform where we post our leaderboard and our class rules and things of that nature. So it's really helped out a lot. But also Hangouts and Hangouts on Air. Like, I'm a huge, huge fan of that. And just a lot of really great tools for flipped instruction as well. A huge fan of BlendSpace, just to help keep everything organized and to, you know, check to make sure that my students are getting it. And blogging. We've been doing a lot of blogging this year, so KidBlog. And Kahoot. My kids go crazy.
Oh, yeah. We love Kahoot. I mean, yeah. Our kids are asking. We have our state test next week, and our kids are asking, can we do a Kahoot before that? And I'm like, yeah, I got to set. That's a huge one.
Yeah. Have you seen the new Ghost Mode?
No. What is that? Yeah. Tell me about it. Talk about it.
Oh, man, I met the Kahoot guys. They're awesome, but they were over at Q in Palm Springs a couple weeks back. Okay. And we really got about maybe 10 minutes to just chat and just shoot the breeze, and they told me about this cool Ghost Mode, and then they blogged about it, so they put it out to the public. But pretty much it allows you to play asynchronously. So you can, like, take a Kahoot that the class has already played and have that link, and someone else could play it, like, at a different time.
Oh, okay.
And,
wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, and they really blew my mind, like, because they were at my presentation for Flipped Classroom, and they were like, have you ever used Kahoot to Flip? And I was just like, Kahoot to Flip? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
But you can embed the video, and then when you play, you can have the kids play the Ghost Mode, you know, as they watch the video that's embedded, and they can go play the Ghost Mode, and that way it would be fun for them to, you know, to do their homework. They'll be, like, really excited about that.
Awesome. That's so cool. I'm glad you just mentioned that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, I want to ask a question that I heard you mention earlier. You said you were at a French immersion campus.
Yes.
Tell me about that. I'm so interested in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The school is amazing. It's located in Southern Maryland, and it's a public school, but the students get in on a lottery system. So, you know, the parents can apply, and then they have a certain number that they take every year. And the kids speak French beginning in kindergarten all the way up through eighth grade. All of their classes are delivered in French with the exception of English class, which starts in second grade, as well as some of their specials. Some of their specials are in French as well, like PE, but the rest are in English.
So wow. I'm assuming you speak French then?
Yeah, I do. My family's from Haiti.
Okay, very cool. Very
cool. Yeah,
so how do you connect with and motivate kids, maybe some of those kids that aren't willing to be motivated?
Absolutely. I've noticed that gamification has really, really helped in that area. That would probably be my professional answer, and I'll uh-huh. I'll clarify that. But I also would have like a more so personal answer. But in terms of gamification, I'll give you an example. I just met my very first. I met my fourth quarter class on Monday for technology because we do it quarterly for the specials. And they're sixth graders, and that particular group of kids has a reputation for being a little bit rambunctious. But when they came to class and I explained to them how the class was gamified and explained to them the structure of the class, then they saw it as a challenge, and it was just on and popping for them. Like once we did, we do typingclub.com for like our daily warm-up so that they, you know, get familiar with typing. And oh my goodness, they did not want to stop because they saw like the leaderboard there and everything. And then when they actually got to their assignment, then they were just going on and on and on. And they were like stopping me in the hallway the next day, like, what was that site again? I want to do it for homework. And I was just like, okay. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So that would be like the professional answer. But the personal answer, I would say just definitely respecting them as people, and that goes a long way to just definitely build those connections with kids. Lots of different ways, just sharing common interest is one way. Like, for example, the whole basketball thing. Right now we're in soccer season. I'm not the soccer coach, but I'll go out there and practice with them and, you know, scrimmage against them and things like that. So when we have, like, when we go out there and we have fun with our kids and they see us as human beings, then, then that's definitely a great way to bring them in.
So who inspired you the most when growing up?
I would say my parents. My parents, and that's probably the stock answer, but my parents are some phenomenal people, and they have just been so inspirational to me from everything they've done. They're both, well, my mom is an educator, and she's done so much in terms of community outreach and things of that nature. And my dad is, right now he's currently a translator, but he's done a lot of community outreach as well. And they both like wrote newsletters for the Haitian community when I was growing up. So just kind of seeing that and them inspiring in me to kind of, I guess, march the beat of my own drummer in certain ways. And that's just had a huge influence on me.
Awesome.
What's something you're maybe reading right now or have read over the last year that kind of has influenced the way you do things around the campus?
I would say probably Drive by Daniel Pink. That's the first thing that pops out in my mind. There's like a lot of great books that are out there, but Drive was one that really kind of opened my eyes in terms of my game, reflecting on my practice for gamification. Mm-hmm. And that kind of inspired me to add more intrinsic rewards to my item shop, because I have a friend, Chris Aviles, who we went through the Google Teacher Academy together this past June in Atlanta, and he is a huge proponent of gamification, and he's done a lot of research on it, and he introduced me to the item shop. Like, that might be a good thing to use with my kids. You know, they can have spendable points and buy things from the item shop. So he was saying that in order, the things that kids crave are status, access, power, and stuff is like the last thing that they want, like the pizza parties and the reward boxes. That's not as important to them as the other three things. So, but I asked the kids, like, what would you want in the item shop? And, you know, I kind of took from his item shop, I took from Tammy Neal's item shop, and I took whatever the kids said. And the kids, they wanted, like, that pizza party and stuff like that. So I was just like, okay, cool, I'll add that in there. But, you know, I definitely tried to, after reading Drive, go back and add more things that dealt with status, access, and power that would intrinsically motivate them.
That's very cool. I saw a tweet today just talking about, like, I guess that book's been out maybe 5 years now, and it's still like number one on Amazon in some category. You know, that it's still a driving force. You know, as far as sales are concerned.
Oh yeah, it's a great book.
So Sarah, when you're having one of those really rough days, what do you kind of do to recenter yourself?
I would say that the kids help a lot, whether they know it or not. Just being around them is just really a joy. They're just a phenomenal group of young people. So even if we're having a rough day academically, then, you know, I could ask them, hey, you know, what do you think that we could do to fix this? And a lot of times they'll come up with some great suggestions, and, you know, we'll implement those. And it, you know, it really helps because nobody knows better than they do.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What's one of the biggest things you've learned over the last year?
Oh, man, this is a great question. I guess I would bring it back to Google Teacher Academy. And one thing that we were introduced to was a concept of moonshot thinking, which is pretty much a question like, what would you do if you weren't afraid to fail? And that was something that I really needed to hear at the time, because fear definitely holds you back from your potential. So when we were introduced to that concept and it started really making sense for me, then I was able to make a lot of changes in my life. And, it's just been life-changing. Like, for example, the EduMatch is a project that started up in late September that just came out of a conversation one day I was having with a friend of mine. And, it was Rafronz Davis and I, we were on Voxer, and I was just like, okay, well, you know, you're saying a lot of things that sound like my cousin. It would be great if you all could talk, because my cousin used to be a teacher as well. And, you know, all of a sudden it was like, okay, well, is there something out there that kind of connects teachers to each other based on common interests? And I looked, and there wasn't really anything. So I was just like, okay, let me go ahead and throw together a Twitter account and see what happens. And the response was just overwhelming. But it almost didn't happen because I was just like, this is dumb. Like, I think that was the very first tweet I put out there. I was just like, this is dumb, but let's try it. So,
So, Sarah, what do you see as one of the biggest challenges in your job?
The biggest challenges, I would say time. Time is a huge challenge, particularly this year, because this year we have a testing overhaul with the park that's been implemented. So, you know, there's a lot of testing, and I would rather see that time go towards more instruction, because it seems like there's double testing this year almost. So it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
What about if you could go back to see yourself as a first-year teacher? What kind of advice would you give yourself?
Hang in there. It gets better. Like, for sure, because, the first few years, it took a little while for me to find my place, and I don't know if that had to deal with the fact that I came through alternative certification, and, you know, it was kind of a steeper learning curve for me. That possibly had something to do with it, but once I found that groove, then it's just been, you know, it's just been awesome.
It's funny. We were all sitting around at lunch the other day. We eat lunch in my room with my department, and we were talking about, like, one of the subs on our campus had just kind of gotten eaten alive by one of these classes. We were all saying, like, that subbing, that was just the worst, hardest job. Like, we would never go back and do that. It's so hard, but... You know, you always say subbing is not teaching, is, you know, it's so different. But gosh, that was a really hard job.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yes, yeah, it's really hard. Yeah, shout out to all the subs that are out there.
No doubt. We love you.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, one of the questions that we always like to end on with our guests is, what is something that you are really passionate about right now?
I would say that the thing that I'm probably the most passionate about is for teachers and students to find their voices, because I feel like we can all learn from each other. So I get really passionate, probably to the point of annoying some people, about the fact that we need to put our voice out there, we need to share, because good or bad, regardless of, you know, if something works great or something doesn't work well, then if you put it out there, then someone can learn from it. And it doesn't matter if it's like your first year, if it's your 40th year teaching, you know, we can all learn from each other. So definitely trying to spread the message of connection.
So, love that.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for spending some time with us this Sunday evening. It was great to get to talk with you and get to know you better. How can listeners connect with you?
Oh, yeah, I would love to connect with anyone out there. My Twitter handle is @SarahTheTeacher, and it's spelled kind of crazy, S-A-R-A-H. DateTeecher. And that is also my Voxer handle. I'm on Periscope too, so loving Periscope. That's like my new favorite thing. Yeah, and, you know, Google+, website sarahjanethomas.com or sarahtheteacher.com.
Awesome. And you can connect with us at EduAllStars HQ on Twitter. Our website is eduallstars.com, and iTunes or Google, you can just search out EduAllStars with no spaces and find all previous episodes there.
And we hope you join us for our next episode with Principal Adam Welcome. Thanks again, Sarah, for coming on. It was great getting to spend some time with you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You guys are awesome.
All right. Take care.